Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
We also say hello to Austin Price of VolQuest.com. The Vols back to practice in preparation for West Virginia and the 2018 season. Austin joins us twice a week for the VolQuest Report. You can follow him on Twitter at Austin Priceless. What's up, Austin?
How we doing, guys?
Doing well. So, Austin, one thing that jumped out to me yesterday, the different answers from Kevin Scherer, Chris Rumpf, and Jeremy Pruitt on who exactly is going to be calling plays sounded to me like they don't exactly know quite yet in terms of game day responsibilities. Did that surprise you a bit when you heard those three different answers?
Well, I would venture to say Jeremy Pruitt's going to be calling plays, but I think both of the other guys, you know, look at it from a standpoint of, you know, we're co-coordinators, and we'll let, you know, Jeremy kind of handle, you know, who announces that. It was kind of like,
well, and
you know,
Jeremy Pruitt, correct me if I'm wrong, but he said something like, "I'll be signaling in the plays from the sideline like I did at Alabama," was his answer
correct
to that question.
Yeah, I mean, I think Scherer will have the ultimate call, but when it comes to the signaling, I think it will be Jeremy Pruitt. You know, and I think they'll all be involved. I mean, you have to understand, Charles Kelly, I think, will have a huge say in especially what the back end of the defense is doing because of his time as a defensive coordinator at Florida State and the trust level that Jeremy Pruitt has with him, having worked with him for several years. So, you know, when I look at the defense, I'm not worried about that. To me, it's, you know, who besides Tyson Helton will have a huge say in the offense? Because when things aren't going well, will it be Will Friend that is the kind of counter voice to Tyson Helton for adjustments? You know, because I just don't see Jeremy Pruitt being a guy that's going to be real involved in certain parts of the offense. I mean, deciding whether to go for a fourth down or not, that's going to fall on him. But, you know, other things, I think that it's going to be Will Friend as the counter voice to Tyson Helton's ultimate voice as the offensive coordinator.
Well, and that was one other thing that jumped out to me about the press availability. We've speculated about Tyson Helton. Has he called plays? What was his level of involvement in calling plays? He answered that yesterday. He talked about kind of situational play calling at both Western Kentucky and USC. What can you tell us about what he said about his play calling experience?
Well, yeah, he's been involved, obviously, with the game planning. That's something that, you know, Larry Scott was involved in a year ago, but then struggled to, you know, be a play caller, which are two totally different things. You know, when I look at, you know, this offensive system, Tyson Helton will kind of be the end-all, be-all, you know, from the get-go with, you know, some Will Friend implementation throughout the game. Tyson Helton's called plays on a periodic basis. You know, you get it into a game where you're winning by a blowout at Western Kentucky, you know, all of a sudden Jeff Brohm decides, hey, I'm going to, you know, take the reins off, you know, Tyson, you call it, you know, the rest of the game and you know, kind of, you know, work out the kinks as you become a better assistant coach, a better coordinator. Same thing out there at USC. Situationally, you know, he was going to have some influence, much like T. Martin had situational influence. But at the end of the day, Clay Helton had his thumb firmly on the offense at USC. So I think that, you know, there'll be a lot of questions to be answered. I think there'll be a filling out process with him as the offensive coordinator here. But you just hope that you find, you know, the next Jimbo Fisher versus the next Larry Scott if you're Jeremy Pruitt.
Austin, Trey Smith will be back and cleared for contact around August 19th or 20th. And we know that both Pruitt and Helton said that his ultimate spot on the offensive line would be determined based on need. Could that be determined based on need week to week against the possible best defensive lineman opposite the O-line?
I don't think so. I think they would like to get him nestled in. I think that the fact that he is not going to be cleared for contact those first couple of weeks, Jonathan, really plays into Tennessee's advantage because I think it allows them to kind of put combinations out there and go, okay, we really need him at tackle. Or, no, we need him at guard. When I look at this team, I think they need him at tackle, because when you look at Ryan Johnson, who can play center or guard, you look at Jerome Carvin, guard, you know, Brandon Kennedy, center or guard. I think the strength without Trey is still in the middle. I think the weaknesses are on the edge. Drew Richmond's yet to really prove himself outside of just playing a lot of games. I don't know if he's necessarily played at a high level at any point during his career here. Jameer Johnson is a JUCO that's got to put on weight, got to continue to prove himself. Marcus Tatum has yet to really be consistent. And then the X factor is Chance Hall, who Coach Pruitt said yesterday they'll work in slowly and build him up to that first scrimmage. It seems to be cleared as ahead of the pace, ahead of to where they thought he would be at this point from a physical standpoint. So I think the tackle spot is where they may need Trey Smith the most, but those first 2 weeks are going to allow them to figure that out. I think Jeremy Pruitt likes the fact that, hey, Trey, you just sit over there and watch. Well, let's figure this thing out. And then by the time he's totally cleared, you know, around the 19th or 20th, let's put him at guard, or okay, let's put him at tackle. I think that's a huge advantage in all of this, because they get to kind of work out the kinks and see where they are the weakest up front.
Austin, we've seen in years past, Tennessee has not been able to stay healthy once camp actually starts, but they are remarkably healthy right now, and that has not been the case in years past starting camp. For the most part, they got a lot of guys who are full go for practice, which hasn't been the case in years past.
You're exactly right, Chad. I mean, they've got a healthy football team, knock on wood, and you know, put the four-leaf clover in your pocket, and the rabbit's foot, and all that stuff. I mean, this is a program that's seen the injury bug bite them for not just one season, but multiple seasons. And it starts in fall camp. Last year it started with concussions. You go back, Trey Smith missed like a week and a half with a concussion, Jayshon Robertson with a concussion. They just kept getting hit big, and you know, with certain injuries. And then once they got into the season, they had, you know, players dropping like flies. So if Tennessee can stay healthy, then I think they can compete to be a more, you know, complete football team this year. Now, if they get hit by the injury bug again, it'll be the same type scenario as last year. But this is a team, especially up front on the offensive and defensive line, going into August, that's as deep as I've seen in quite some time. That doesn't equate to success always, but it does give you options if you're Jeremy Pruitt on both lines of scrimmage.
Do you get the sense that Jeremy Pruitt likes this team more than he liked him at the end of spring practice in that orange and white game, having at least been getting reports and seeing what they've been doing this summer?
I do think that's the case, Chad. I think that he feels like that this team is full of a bunch of great kids. And, you know, it's their job to coach them up and get more out of them than maybe they got last year or the previous staff did. But I think he looks at this team as a group of guys that he really enjoys being around. They're a cohesive unit. They don't think you've seen a lot of finger pointing with this group. They all like each other. And so the fact that they're good kids off the field, this team is healthier, as we just talked about, and they've added an influx of certain talent with Dominique Wood Anderson and Jerome Carvin and some of these young guys that, you know, I think will have a chance to play, including the secondary, where I think Tennessee may could start as many as two true freshmen against West Virginia in the secondary. I think that he does like this team a good bit. Again, that doesn't equate to success, but it does give you a chance to start off on the right foot when everybody's on the same page.
Austin, what is the latest with J.J. Peterson and joining this team? What are the academics like where he's coming from?
Still looking to finish up a couple of classes. Hoping to get the results back on that any day now. I still think first of next week's probably when, you know, he would arrive in Knoxville if he's going to make it. And, you know, he's doing everything he can to get here. We'll see if he can get the work done. But it will be a big, big miss for Jeremy Pruitt and company if he's not here. Just because he was the, you know, the bell cow of that 2018 class, you would hate to have him, you know, miss out on his first fall here and end up in junior college.
What's the schedule like this weekend for the Vols?
Tennessee will practice today at 2:50, tomorrow at 2:50. Team picture fan day will begin at 11 a.m. tomorrow, and then practice, the open practice, at 2 o'clock tomorrow for all the fans that want to show up and watch Tennessee go through a, you know, kind of a no-contact type practice, mm-hmm. and kind of get some autographs.
Do you think those 2:50 start times have anything to do with their first game being on CBS at 2:30 or around that time? I know 2:30 Central, 3:30 Eastern, or is that just what the schedule is going to be once classes start also, where they're going to be starting late in the afternoon?
Well, you know, I think you normally see that, the late afternoon starts, whether that was with Philip Fulmer or, you know, Lane Kiffin or Butch Jones, they started, you know, around 3:30 to 4:30, depending on, you know, the class schedule. It was Derek Dooley that moved them to the mornings. We missed Dooley just for that lone reason. We love those morning practices. But I would suspect it has a little bit to do with that, and mostly to do with the fact that they have a schedule in place with positional meetings and so on and so forth to review film from the day before and go over things they want to get done that day.
Austin, any truth to the rumor that Chad's chat with Wolken broke the VolQuest message board last night?
He was a General's Quarters legend. A General's Quarters legend. I was very close to tweeting Chad doing the throat slash by the Undertaker gif yesterday on Twitter. Because he made, I think, Wolken rest in peace, right, Chad?
Yeah, Austin, some things are just necessary in life. Some things need to be done, and it was done yesterday.
It's almost as necessary as when Jonathan Hutton reads those Wendy's promos.
Yeah, almost. Also necessary. Sometimes a Frosty is necessary.
$1.99 kids meals after 4 o'clock, Austin.
By the way, I'm sitting outside of a Wendy's right now getting ready to get my 3-year-old a Frosty herself.
So. There you go. Well, you can take advantage of that kids meal also right
$1.99
now.
$1.99 kids meals after 4 o'clock, though. So you have
such thing as a vanilla Frosty. Make that known in that call.
Totally agree, Paul. Totally agree.
Attaboy.
Austin, thank you.
Thank you, guys.